الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقال سبحانه وتعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وقال سبحانه وتعالى ستدعون إلى قوم أولي بأس شديد وقال سبحانه وتعالى هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم هلك كسرى فلا كسرى بعده وإذا هلك قيصر فلا قيصر بعده والذي نفسي بيده لتنفقن كنوزهما في سبيل الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected مشايخ, respected علماء, my respected elders, my brothers, my sisters, and my little ones, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. After praising the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations on Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I begin by first thanking you, the people of London, and especially Mulan Ismail and all the brothers that work in the Azhar Academy, for inviting me and giving me this opportunity to convey the message of Allah and His Messenger Muhammad Rasulullah salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. I pray to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah accept these efforts of yours in one, listening to this message; two, taking this message and conveying it to those of our brothers and sisters that are not present here today for one reason or another; and lastly, implementing this message in your daily life. As I pray to the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah accept these efforts of mine in delivering this message and also acting upon this message. The title allocated for today was, as advertised, the land of shock and awe, the land of Iraq. And what a beautiful title it is. The right title, I guess, at the right time. At a time when the whole world is talking about Iraq, what better for us Muslims living in the West? Many of us of which have forgotten our roots. What better for us today than a history lesson on Iraq? And I'm telling you now that this history lesson may last for 10 minutes. It may last for half an hour.
ee meelahaas furanaawa qori meelahaa furmo. So those of you that like stretching your legs, then by all means you do so. Those of you find it too hot, you take off your hat. Those of you that like leaning against the walls, then by all means do so. But at least give this much to Iraq, that you listen to this message in totality. And all I ask for today is your ears. When Islam appeared on the international scene, all the Asian empires that existed ceased to exist and perished. And the only thing that remained was two great empires. And the whole world at that time, at the dawn of Islam, you can say more or less, was divided between these two empires. You had one, the Byzantine Empire, the Roman Empire, the capital of which was Constantinia, Constantinople, modern day terms, Istanbul, under the rule of Heraclius, which comprised of the European countries, and at the same time it regained Palestine, Syria, Egypt, and Asia Minor. This was one power. On the other hand, you have the great Persian Empire, which at the dawn of Islam, out of the two, commanded a stronger position. It comprised of, at the dawn of Islam, of Syria, Egypt, Palestine, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, and all these lands. Just looking at the booty, the mali ghanimat which the Muslims took from Persia, when they conquered Persia, will give you a rough idea of this power. If you open the books of history, Al-Bidaya wal-Nihaya, Tariq Tabari, Tariq Baghdad, and works like this, this is what you will find. The White Palace of Kisra, the king of Persia, Khoros, in them days, was considered a wonder of the world. There was vast riches comprising of thousands of rare and priceless heirlooms preserved and transmitted from the Kayani dynasty, like coats of mail. You had the swords of the emperors of China. They had the swords of the emperors of Rome and other kings. And you know, to acquire the swords of a king, you would have to defeat that country. They had all these swords of all these different kings. They had this horse of solid gold. Solid gold. The saddle of this horse was of silver, and on the breast of the horse there was rubies and diamonds set in. You had this camel of silver, made out of silver. The saddle of this camel was of 100% pure gold. The leading string of this camel was embedded with rubies, diamonds and emeralds. And the rider of this camel was glistening from head to toe with precious gems. You had a carpet, an absolute masterpiece, which the Persians called spring. It was 60 zirah by 60 zirah, around 60 meters by 60 meters. Absolute phenomenal. You would have to read the descriptions in the books of Tariq, history, to actually realize how beautiful this piece was. Everything that would remind you of spring was on this piece of carpet. And the beautiful thing was, everything that was in this carpet, be it trees, plants, fruits, everything was worked in gold and silver. And it was decorated with rubies and diamonds. Can you imagine? 60 meters by 60 meters. You had the crown, gold crown of Kisra, of course, decorated with diamonds. The traditions state that the diamonds were as big as bird's eggs. And the gold crown weighed 91.5 kilograms. Can you imagine? 91.5 kilograms of solid gold. You don't think he wore this, did you? Come on, guys. 91.5 kilograms on your head, you'll be seeing stars. It was hanging down with chains 70 meters long from the ceiling. Again, made out of gold. Can you imagine? 70 meters long chain made out of gold. And Kisra would come and he would slip his head underneath this great crown. Again, Tabari relates on the authority of Habib ibn Sahban, يَدَخَلْنَا الْمَدَائِنِ, that we entered Mada'in. Mada'in was the capital of Persia, which is in Iraq. And we saw these domes, Turkish domes. And underneath were baskets, hundreds of baskets. And we thought that these baskets were full of food. Yet when we got there and looked inside these baskets, it turned out that they were utensils made out of gold and silver. And these utensils, this gold and silver, it was distributed amongst the Muslims. And there was so much gold, that the Muslims would go around saying, "Man ba'ahu bayda bi safra," that who will give me silver in place of gold? Then you had the throne of Kisra. Again, only once you read the descriptions given in the historical traditions will you actually realize the reality of this throne. Absolute masterpiece. 180 meters long, 15 meters high, and it's made out of teak and ivory. The railings and the sheet, everything else of gold. Then you had, you can keep on going on, and everything that you will realize was either made out of gold, silver, and decorated with rubies and diamonds. Another narration that I came across was that the narrator says that the doors of the palace, the curtain, when the Muslims entered Mada'in, they burnt it. And just from that curtain they took out 1,000,000 miskal is a weight, a million mithqal of gold. One mithqal at the time was at 10 dirham. Making that a total of 10 million dirham. Now, bearing all this in mind, this will tell you how big of a power Persia was. This is what they, this is just some of the things that I've related to you, what the Muslims found when they conquered Persia and what they distributed amongst themselves. Just imagine how powerful this nation was. Adding to this, it had ruled for 2,000 years and it had not been defeated. And the king at the dawn of Islam of Persia was Anushirwan. And out of all the kings that ruled Persia, it is related with regards to him that he was the most just out of all the Persian kings. To the extent that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would say, وَلِدْتُ فِي زَمَنْ الْمَلِكَ الْآدِرِ, that I sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in the reign of a just king. So when Islam came on the international scene, these are the two powers that you have. Both superpowers. And these two powers, just like today you have America and Russia, directly, indirectly, they're always having a go at one another. There's always something happening between these two powers. So in them days, there was always something happening between the Romans and the Persians. They would fight one another. Sometimes the Romans would gain the upper hand. And sometimes the Persians would gain the upper hand. And the Quran makes a reference to their fighting, in which the Romans were defeated. And they were driven out from Palestine, Syria, Egypt, and Asia Minor. What does the Quran say? The Quran says, Alif Lam Mim, غلبت الروم في أدنى الأرض وهم من بعد غلبهم سيغلبون في بضع سنين لله الأمر من قبل ومن بعد ويومئذ يفرح المؤمنون بنصر الله ينصر من يشاء. But the Quran says, the Romans have been defeated in the near land. The Persians are victorious. At the same time, the Quran informs the believers that in spite of the Romans have been defeated in the near land, very soon, in a matter of few years, these very Romans will regain this territory and they will be victorious. Now this, at that time, was something remarkable. Because the politics of Makkah supported the Persians. And the Muslims, they supported the Romans because the Romans were Ahli Kitab. And the Muslims were also people of the book. Now when this verse of the Quran was revealed to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Persians mocked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, how can it be that a power, when it is defeated, you know that when a power is defeated, how long does it take that power to stand on its feet again? It takes years. Look at Germany in World War II. It was defeated. How long has it taken Germany to stand on its feet again? From World War II to now, how many years have passed? Come on guys, about 60 years. And even now, Germany is considered a power, but not a superpower. So it's taken Germany all these years to stand on its feet again. Here, the Romans have been defeated. And the Quran is saying that within a few years, these very Romans are going to become victorious. And when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited this verse unto the people, the mushrik, mocked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is this man saying? And it so happened exactly as the Quran said. But within a matter of a few years, when the Muslims beat the polytheists of Makkah in the Battle of Badr, at the same time, the Romans beat the Persians and they regained their territories and they were celebrating. So this was the international situation when Islam appeared on the face of the earth. These two great powers fighting with one another. Now amidst these two great powers, you have the Bedouins of Arabia that are in the depths of ignorance. Total jahiliyyah. Burying their daughters alive, every sin that you can imagine, these people are committing. Nobody wants to rule over these people because of their ignorance. And amongst these Bedouins of Arabia, you have one man. And this man has declared, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. That there is no God worthy of worship. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant of Allah and he is the messenger of Allah. And this man is in a minority. And he's declared this. And there are 10,000 Arabs. All the Arab tribes of Arabia have united. And their aim and objective is to wipe this man and his followers, which are in a minority, obliterate them from the face of the earth. 10,000 men have gathered outside Medina al-Munawwarah with this aim and objective in mind, with the mashwara and consultation of others. Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this very man orders for a trench to be dug for the protection of this minority. And the Muslims are digging this trench. They're digging this trench. And that this white stone, great white stone, which stands as an obstacle. The Sahaba try one by one to break this stone. They cannot break. Their tools are breaking. To continue, they have to break this stone. Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he informs Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the situation. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes. He sprinkles some water on this stone. He prays to the Almighty Allah. And he takes the pickaxe of Salman. Two stones tied to his stomach due to hunger. One stroke and this great stone is great no more. Two pieces. And when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck this stone, there flashed a light so powerful that because of which the two sides of Medina, the two rocky sides of Medina, lit up. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shouted, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. And when the Muslims heard this, they shouted, Allahu Akbar, that Allah is the greatest. This man then informs this minority. But I have just seen the palaces of Kisra, the palaces of Persia in Madain and Hira. And Jibreel has just informed me, إِنَّ أُمَّتِي ظَاهِرَةٌ عَلَيْهَا, that you people, this minority which is before me, you will overcome these places and Persia will be a thing of the past. He takes the pickaxe and he strikes this stone for a second time. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strikes the stone. And yet again, just like the first time, when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck the stone, there flashed a lightning, again because of which the rocky sides of Medina lit up. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. And the Muslims responded, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. And then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs this very minority that I have just seen the red palaces of Byzantium. And Jibreel has just told me that you will overcome the Romans and the Romans will be a thing of the past. See if you can contemplate this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying this to this minority in such a state, in such a condition. But all the Arab tribes have united to wipe him and his followers from the face of the earth. 10,000 men have gathered. Arabs in that entire history have never seen 10,000 men gather and unite like this. Such is the condition of this minority that the Quran describes it. What does the Quran say? إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْكِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. The Quran says, إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْكِكُمْ, the enemy came to you from above you. وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ, the enemy came from beneath you. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ, the eyes, when you saw all these masses, 10,000 men, the eyes grew wild. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ, and your heart reached your throats out of fear. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ, and you began to harbor doubts with regard to the Almighty Allah. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. That is when the Muslims were tested and they were shaken and mighty shaken. Such is the condition that this minority have stones tied to his stomach due to hunger. They can barely stand on their feet because of the cold. In this condition, this one man is telling them that they will conquer both of the superpowers of the time. Let me explain this in modern day terms. The world that we have before us today, let us say this world, the whole world is divided up between America to one side and China on the other side. Example, the whole world is divided between these two powers. And in the midst of these two powers you have the bushmen of the Kalahari Desert in Africa. And a man from amongst these bushmen stands up today in a minority and he tells these people in such a condition that all the African tribes have turned against him and they are they're outside his door, they want to remove him from the face of the earth, him and his followers, and he's telling his followers, if very soon America will be no more, very soon China will be no more, and you will rule the world. Tell me who will believe in from amongst you. You will say this bushman is lost the plot. This is exactly what you would say. Here when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making this ilan and this announcement amongst the Sahaba, and he was following these people, this more or less was exactly the same situation. These people believed. Why? وَمَا يَنْتِكُ أَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّهَا. Because this man, whatever he says, he doesn't say out of desire, out of feeling. He receives the revelation from the Almighty Allah. And the Quran has said, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. That this deen will prevail. And it so happened, just like this man made the claim, it so happened that these very Bedouins became the rulers of the world. And the signs were there right from the day Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. Open the books of history. The day he sallallahu